And we're live. Welcome to the show. This is our first episode of Red Pill University. I am Joe. I am joined with Mike and James. Mike, why don't you give us a quick overview of what this show is all about?
Yeah, so I think the strategic objectives really of Red Pill University are really three things. And mainly it's connecting with other men, building strength, and it's being able to become capable of self-leadership. And so with those things, there's a lot to unpack. And if you've been on any of the different parts of the manosphere, if you've read up on any of the sidebar stuff or any of the things that are considered kind of textbook reading, and you're familiar with a lot of the philosophies, but really what it boils down to for me is a lot of different things that have quite a lot of overlap to do with adulting 101. Things like making your own needs a priority, understanding how to assert yourself, establish your own boundaries. Really, the whole point of this philosophy is to carve out space for you to live your own life. And that's kind of what the curriculum, so to speak, is going to be focused on, if that makes sense.
Yep, I get it. So hopefully our audience gets this too. And we do have a few viewers, so that's cool. So if you guys want to join us on the stream, we're going to go through the bullet points of what we're talking about, what Mike was just discussing. And then later, if you guys have questions or comments or concerns, go ahead and click the link down below. There should be one right here. Yeah, so that should get you to the green room, and we'll go from there. So I'll leave that up in the description down below, or the on the screen right there. I guess the first one here is, like I said, mature people who make their own needs a priority. An abundance mentality, that's always key. And we talked a little bit before the show. Your description of frame, I like that. Do you remember what you said?
Yeah, I do. And so I think for me, and this is, you know, by all means, not my own idea, but I think frame can be summed up in one piece, which is creating your own mental point of origin. And I think that's so key for people, not just in romantic relationships or sexual relationships, but in life, and it applies really to every single different aspect of what I would consider the red pill to be, which, you know, a lot of people, you know, I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but a lot of people think of the red pill in different ways. And for me personally, what I think of it as is giving yourself access to as many options as possible in life. And you cannot do that, you know, without your own mental point of origin. So James brought up an interesting point before the show about, all there is frame and abundance mentality. So I'd love his thoughts on that. And it just is a lead into a couple of the bullet points that we're talking about here.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's all there is, but I would say that that's like the most important thing. And if you were to pick a couple things, if you only could pick a couple things to be able to do for your whole life, I would say that I would personally pick those two. Everything else is like a finesse thing that definitely adds to it. It's like meat and potatoes, and then you have sauces and side dishes and et cetera.
Dishes, not bitches.
That's yeah.
Yeah.
And but,
yeah.
So right. So God, that threw me off.
Put that little.
You're talking about the art and the science of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
It's like the POA side, where's the science and there's the artistry of it too.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. I get what you're saying. So, sorry, you were saying there, James?
Yeah. And you know, you have frame, and that allows you to do what you want with your life. Hmm. And then you have abundance mentality, which allows you to not, I guess, to deal with the people in your life the way you want as well. So, I mean, that applies to friendships and relationships with women. So like I have this story, and I just remembered it, and I'm glad that I remembered it. There's I don't know if you guys have ever met like a natural alpha, is what I would say, what I would call them. Oh, yeah. But my friend's brother, one of my friends from high school's brother, he like if a girl complimented his car, said he had a nice car, he would next them. And I don't know if that's like, I mean, he had women proposing marriage to him, and ad nauseum. I mean, it was insane. And I think that's like, I don't know if that's overboard. I haven't made a judgment on it, but I think that that indicates like almost Zen level of abundance mentality, like knowing.
It sounds like he's got
a very
small tolerance for bullshit. So if he's getting any whiff of what do you call it, of gold diggerishness, he just gone next.
I mean, that's like crazy. I would never have thought.
That's what we call a hair trigger.
Yeah.
And I know a few guys who've been like that, but that's a bit outside the scope of this discussion.
Yeah, I don't know if you have to be like that, and I don't want to say either way, but it definitely has shown me that there are levels like to push past in terms of frame, what you'll what you'll tolerate as a person and with women, et cetera. So
it's so key, and people will have different prerogatives, right? And just to tie it back here to your point earlier, James, about abundance mentality, what it allows you to do really is to entertain other people's priorities without sacrificing or having them encroach on your own. And I think that's a huge part of frame.
It is. We were talking about earlier before with the bullet points, how you think about your own needs independently of other people's perceptions is both outcome independence, but it's also an abundance mentality kind of rolled into one. Does that make sense?
Well, James made a good point. I think outcome independence, you cannot have outcome independence if you don't have an abundance mentality. It's difficult. It's very difficult.
It is difficult. I'll give you that.
I mean, you're probably faking it most of the time, I would say.
Yeah.
Unless you don't care. Unless you actually don't care if you have another option or not. So I don't know if you get that, but like if you miss out on an opportunity, but you don't care, not because you have another opportunity, but because you don't care that you don't.
And that can be a valid way of looking at it with, you're so kind of focused on your own mission that what other people are doing or with whether you have abundance or not doesn't affect that.
Right.
That I like that kind of internalized outcome independence in that sense where you don't need abundance to be outcome independent. I think a really solid frame control right there.
I think that's like a rare person that has that though. I would say that most people. Yeah.
Yeah. There are people that just naturally give few fucks.
Yeah. Oh, right. There's one.
There's my one.
So moving on, building personal power. It's a state of mind where you are confident that you can handle with whatever may come. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think the key part for me is being able to understand and feel, you know, everything that you're gonna get hit with in life, and understand that two things. Number one, there's no cavalry. Nobody's coming for me. I got to take care of myself. In terms of, am I gonna be okay personally? Right. Not that you can't have other people rely on you, or not that you can't have other people supporting you. Obviously you can, like no man is an island. And I don't mean it that way. What I mean is nobody's going to be there to validate you. Nobody has to be there to pat you on the shoulder and say, it's going to be okay necessarily for you to be able to get the mission done, execute on your vision in your life.
The only people you're ever going to get that from in life is going to be your parents. And once you become an adult, not so much. You're on your own.
Once you're on your own, you really should not be expecting. You know, you're swinging on a trapeze without a safety net, so to speak, or at least that should be your mindset. And that creates a healthier mindset of what do I need to go do to make sure that I'm going to be okay? How do I take care of myself and do the things I need to do?
And that's where stoicism kind of comes into play, too.
Yeah,
that's jumping ahead a little bit. I think we wanted to talk more about the.
Totally.
About not getting manipulated, how to assert yourself and reclaim personal boundaries. That's a big one right there. Especially in relationships where you see a lot of guys, they go into Reddit, they'll make these posts, and it's damage control because they didn't already have their boundaries established and articulated until it's too late. And you can't be doing that.
It's so much harder to do it after the fact.
It's especially in these days right now right now is the crucible for many relationships where everybody's, you know, cordoned up, they're stuck at home, quarantined. You got to deal with everybody 24/7. It is tough, I'm sure. So you're going to see a lot of, one, you're going to see a lot of kids born back in the fall, but on the backside of that, you're also going to have a lot of failed relationships where people just get fed up. So because maybe they're walking on eggshells, they realize that they don't have the power in relationship. The guys are operating in the women's frame. And that's just, it's always a recipe for disaster. and relationships that could have gone on longer where they're not in this confined space 24/7, these kind of things, these bubbles are going to start popping all over the place. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else do we have here?
There's a lot to unpack there.
Well, there is, yeah.
And so to touch back on the – so I said there were two pieces of this. So first of all, there's no cavalry. The second piece of it is being really confident that I can experience and feel anything that happens in life. There's a really beautiful kind of terminology that I think it was I think it was the Book of Pook, actually. And if you go back and I don't remember exactly the reference, but I can pull it up after the show, was, you know, frolic in the surf of emotion. You know, don't stray away from it like that. This is part of life. We should be able to feel our emotions and in a way that's constructive and helping us toward our mission, right? Being on our terms. And I think that's the second piece of building personal power. And so when you talk about how to reclaim manhood, some of the bullet points that we talked about of, you know, connecting with other men, building strength, part of that is emotional strength. And part of that is emotional intelligence and understanding just how to relate to people, how to know. You know, some of this stuff is hard to do if you don't have a PhD in psychology. Hmm. You know, I'm as just a guy who, you know, came up in the Florida educational system. You know, I was not the best at this type of stuff when it comes to relationships. That's friends, family, romantic, what have you. But finding healthy male role models, understanding how to be capable of self-leadership, not just self-discipline or self-management, but self-leadership, really, you know, giving yourself that space to carve out.
And we're going to talk a bit, we're going to talk about, for the viewers, we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. So hang in there. So you kind of already covered building strength, finding healthy role models, re-examining your relationship with your father. That's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a community kind of effort, what we're talking about. This is where the fraternity comes into play. If you are looking for other guys that you can kind of compare notes with in the real world and wing each other, basically, you're going to actually have a real world presence. The fraternity is a great place to do that. Hit up myself or James, and we can figure this out after the show. We'll put a description down below as well. But yeah, the fraternity is definitely that's what you need right there. If you're looking for person to person contact, that's what you need. That's why we built it, is so you can go out and find wings who are red pill savvy and are building their own headspace when it comes to the stoicism, the strength, learning the skills, the social skills, and becoming savvy. So, and we'll touch more on that later in the show as well. So the whole point of this philosophy is to carve out a space for you to live your life and become, like you said, capable of self-leadership and to become competent. Mm-hmm. The scrutiny of I'm reading off our show notes.
Yeah, you got it.
The scrutiny and criticism of others, random women, wife, boss, parents, kids, it's an opportunity for personal growth. This one I love because it's kind of the concept of that there's no real failures in life unless you don't learn lessons from the failures. Failures are opportunities to learn. And the only time it's really a true and total failure is when you fail to glean some sort of lesson from that mistake.
Yeah, or you fail to view it in the wrong way. It's very, very well said, actually. I think when you get to the point where you realize that as men, we're going to be scrutinized and criticized our entire lives, and what that really is an opportunity for you to say, is this in line with my mission? Is this person holding something up and saying, you are not being congruent to your mission? And if you are, you should dismiss that, right? Mm-hmm. If you should dismiss that criticism and say, you know, that I'm doing what I need to do and what you're saying is ridiculous. Or do you look at it and say, you know what? It's tough to swallow, but that's going to get me closer to where I need to be. And that ties into the next piece, which really is fostering the right behaviors in your relationships.
And just
for me, that's where the emotional intelligence piece comes on.
So for the viewers, this is something I want to throw out there right now. So it's a 1 week. We can talk about this before the show, but what you just said reminded me. So one of the things you guys got to do, this is your homework for the week, is for the next 7 days, every time you make a decision, you're going to write down what that decision was. You're going to have a little check box next to it. Yes or no, did this decision lead in the direction of your mission? So was sitting on the couch watching Netflix for 8 hours a day, was that decision to sit on your ass all day long, building towards your mission? Yes or no? There's no judgment of whether it did or not, because we're all going to be no's every now and then. That's fine. But make sure you're tracking your decisions for the next week. Now, this is something you can do at work all day long. You can optimize your decision-making skills at work. But as part of the university, you're getting homework. This is your homework lesson number one. For the next week, every time you make a decision, every hour, have a little journal, little notepad, and write down, think back for the last hour, what decisions did you make, and were those decisions conducive to accomplishing your mission, accomplishing your goals? And if you haven't planned any goals yet, when the show's over, go look at the other video. I'll have to drop a link down below in the description. That video of how to build functional goals is critical to what we're doing in this course. All right? So didn't want to hijack us anymore. Getting back on track here. Where were we?
No, you got it. That's
leadership.
That's pretty much the last part of it, which is, you know, there is a part to touch on here, which is, you know, when we say foster the right behaviors in your relationships, it's including and especially in your romantic relationships. So overcoming ineffective sexual behaviors to get the sex you want, begin commanding your own sexuality. But mainly it's to develop an accurate view of the world and chart a path to success. And all that ties into finding your own mission and your vision and your purpose.
That's one of the things too that happened as I got older. So got married, had the kid, had the house, had the car, had a good job. And it was like mission accomplished. Well, then what the hell is my next goal? Like I did all of the hallmarks of adulthood, but I never really thought to myself, is this right for me? And with all of these big high water marks hit, what's next? Retire and die? So think about what your mission really is. What is important to you as a person? This is something that I can't answer. Nobody can answer because this is really determined by the individual. Maybe it's to, you know, maybe you're 40 and you want to get into some sort of professional sport. Who knows? Maybe you're 25 and you just want to get your first kiss. You know, I just saw a thread on the forum about or on the Reddit. One of the guys just finally lost his V card. Mm-hmm. And that was a big, you know, a big thing for him. And I think it is for everybody, especially in those younger ages. But think about what it is that's important to you. So, because if you don't have a mission, I've joked about this before in other shows. If you pull over and ask somebody for directions and say, well, okay, where are you going? And you tell them, I don't know. Well, I can't help you get from point A to point B if you don't have a destination in mind. Yeah. And it's absolutely critical that you know where you're going in life. What are your goals? What is your mission? Now, this course, this channel, this show is all generally about, I don't want to say stoicism and sexuality, but it is generally male sexual
strategy.
Strategy. And also, we've got the one for women, too. Matter of fact, it's tomorrow night show where we kind of flip it and we give the women's perspective. And that's one of the things, just as a kind of a side note, their goals, women's goals, are wildly different from men's, even red pill women. So I find that highly interesting.
Especially red pill women.
Yeah, very.
In my opinion.
And there's nothing wrong with them trending conservative, traditional conservative. It's just that's just how it shakes out.
Yeah, it's a different animal.
It is. And it's more conducive for like the MRP folks, I think, because you're doing the traditional kind of things of getting married and having relationships. But anyways, that's a whole other animal. We can talk about that some other time. Getting back on track. So we had our bullet point list here. Where did we actually leave off at, guys?
I think we're at the end of the list. I think finding your own mission and purpose is what this is about. And that's, you know, to your point about frame and finding your own mental point of origin, that's the hardest thing you can do.
Yeah. So your takeaways and personal lessons. I always like this question right here. What is the red pill? For me, in my mind, I'm going to give you the Joe answer. The Joe answer is that think of three Venn diagrams. You've got like the seduction guys, the PUAs and all that. You've got the men's rights guys. You got the MGTOW guys. Well, have all three of those Venn diagrams kind of overlap, and you got like TRPs like right in the middle. That's my perspective of it. Now, people are going to argue with that. That's fine. And it's not that simple. I'll full disclosure, it's not really that simple. But in a generic sense, that's kind of where it's at. That's for me. What about you guys?
For me, the red pill is like as close to the truth of reality as we can currently get. Like, maybe there's another – I've always thought about this. Like, maybe there's another layer that we don't understand. But the way that when you enact these principles in your life and you see that they just work, it's very indicative that it's the truth. So
yeah, it's the truth. I think there's the elephant in the room, definitely.
I think there's something fundamental about it, and it's reflective of the natural law in a way of who we are. And it's interesting reading, you know, Rolla Tomassi's stuff, because it's when you hear guys in the modern era ask questions about their women and their relationships, and you wonder to yourself, does this, is my woman really thinking differently than 30,000 years of evolution has programmed her to think? And that's very, in my opinion, that would be very challenging to overcome. Not to place a value on that, but really it is what it is. We are evolutionary creatures in a way. So to get back to your question of what is the red pill, for me, it's exactly that. It's understanding the fundamental truth that, you know, that James put forth there, which is, you know, things are what they are, right? The natural laws existed. We are evolutionary creatures. In that context, giving yourself access to as many options as possible in life is really what the red pill kind of offers for me.
All right. Let's see. Giving yourself access to as many options as possible in life. We just kind of talked about that. Making no mistake here that women want men who are strong and capable of leadership. And it's funny because the red pill show, absolutely total agreement. There's no denying that. Women are absolutely naturally attracted to guys that are competent and leaders. And there's going to be the whole Nawalt kind of thing. Not all women are like that. That's sure. But generally speaking, yeah, it's pretty much a truism. This isn't my perception. This is the collected observations of millions of men over decades now. And I think they're all kind of, we have all kind of come to a consensus. That's kind of what it is. You cannot build strength and leadership if you don't first learn self-discipline, understand the impact of other people's perceptions and how it applies to your own actions. And you can kind of, like I said, as we talked about before, you can nullify some of that by being outcome independent and having internal validation and just rock solid frame.
Yep.
But it's still important to understand how outside perspectives can maybe guide your decisions. Are you doing something because you're afraid of how people are going to think? Are you walking on eggshells around a girlfriend or wife because you're afraid she's going to have a BPD episode or is bipolar and is going to flip out on you? You know, think about these things. These are real serious situations that a lot of guys find themselves in, and they're going to guide your behaviors, whether you've got rock solid frame or not. If you've got to worry about your girlfriend stabbing you in the night, there's some problems there you might want to address.
Yeah, everybody's got problems, but that's a significant one. And really what it is about building a way to navigate that, the compass.
Exactly.
Of, you know, what points toward what you want. You're building your intuition.
And some people fail spectacularly. And this is where we can learn from other people's mistakes so we don't repeat them. And a few years ago, there was a good example of this where this guy got drunk, hooked up with some girl, they did some drugs. And then in the morning he woke up to her having carved her name in his arm. Nice. Shit happens, dude. Yeah. So hopefully
that's kinky, though, no,
that's how you get like,
it's not the right
hepatitis or some shit. Yeah. But yeah, that's so anyways, I digress. So, building your intuition, the compass points towards what you want.
What you say is very relevant. There are a lot of terrible anecdotes as far as where things went wrong. And 9 times out of 10, it's these guys don't have a strong decision-making structure as far as what is right for me. And that's what this whole thing's about.
Well, and I think a lot of it comes down to, it's the neediness, the lack of abundance that the first girl that comes along that gives them that smile and gives them a little bit of attention in a way that they're not used to, they just latch onto it. And I think everybody's been there at some point in their life. It might've been the first girlfriend or the first crazy girl you dated. And because the sex was wild. There's a lot of reasons that guys kind of fall into this trap, but you got to be mindful of like, is this really what's right for you and for your mission? So, and again, if you don't have a mission in mind, then you can't really answer that question.
You're sunk.
Yeah, definitely. So stop seeking validation from others. We've kind of covered that a little bit. Dwell in reality. Who wants to cover this one? Because I find this to be an interesting point. Dwell in reality.
James, you want to touch on this one?
I don't have thoughts on this point currently.
Okay, it's let me dive into this one really quick from my perspective.
Seeing the world
and think
as
about
it is,
it.
Right?
What's that? It's also being present in the moment. I think is a big part of that. And you hear this a lot in the pickup guys, where they take guys out to the bars and stuff, and the guys just get wrapped up in their head and they're thinking about, well, what am I going to say? What's she going to think about this? And they what if until the moment's lost, and then by the time they do approach, the girls have been watching these guys staring at them for 10 minutes, so now it's all creepy. So if you're present in the moment, dwelling in that moment, like you said, not necessarily dwelling in reality. It's a little bit different, but it's kind of the same. There's overlap. So
but there's an element there. Sure.
There is. And as soon as you see a girl you like, the pickup guys had the 3-second rule. I kind of nipped it in the bud, just said 1-second rule. Because the longer you think about it, the worse the outcome is going to be, generally speaking, because you're getting in your head. And if you're like me and you do get in your head, especially if she's really, really cute and in your thing, yeah, just beat feet, worry about what you're going to say later. And as this course progresses, you're not going to have to worry about what to say later because you'll already have something in mind. And we'll cover that, if not tonight, then in future episodes. So anyways, yeah. So James, heading back to you. Dwell in reality.
I mean, I don't really have a good frame on this because I am in reality. I do that mostly all the time. So I would just say that don't delude yourself. Try to be as honest with yourself as possible in order to make lasting improvements. I'm getting kind of fucked on this one, guys.
No, you hit on it. Look, a lot of blue pill guys delude themselves in a big way, and it's not a path to success. Dwelling in reality is understanding the stream that I jumped in on where you guys were talking about, you know, the current, not to get into political structures and all that, but the current mind state of society is, you know, not necessarily in line with the natural law, in my opinion. It's a simple statement, but it's very profound in terms of how people act and how people make decisions. And so, you know, James, you talked about, you know, it's tough to be in a environment where everybody around you is still plugged into the matrix, still blue pill folks. That presents certain challenges. And so your strategy has to revolve around that is really what this is touching on. Does that make sense?
I mean, yeah, it's almost like you're gaslighting yourself.
Yeah.
In that case, sometimes you just like, it just makes you think like, holy shit. It definitely makes you rely on your frame to stay in the game because you can't spend time questioning what you currently think, like what you currently, I guess, think to be true. It's always good to go back and analyze. And if something like profound hits you in a moment, maybe that goes right in. But I find that if you need to pick some principles to operate under, if you're spending too much time in every single situation, trying to going over if what I've been doing in the past is the right thing to do, you're going to lose a lot of, I don't know, time, opportunities, et cetera.
Yeah. Opportunity cost is huge. That's one of the things I hate. Time is money, or the better way of putting it is that I can always make more money. I can't make more time. So especially this becomes especially important as you get older. So I'm now in my 40s and it's like you've got fewer years ahead than you have in the past. So I'm much more careful about who I spend my time with and how I spend it. And this kind of gets back to what we were talking about before. When you dwell in reality, you control fear, or confront fear. And this one's really important, controlling your impulses. And this is all kind of is rolled up underneath building strength and leadership and really taking on that role of the stoic, rational male. Moving on. Unless you guys have any other points to add on to that.
So that's all huge.
I almost rebooted the computer. That would have been bad. All right. So advanced leadership. Process and manage your emotions. That's the emotional intelligence we talked about. Mastering your ego. And then mastering your cognitive biases. This, I think, is clutch. Cognitive. Yeah, Mike, you're going to have to take that one. That's as important.
Yeah, cognitive biases are your own logical fallacies. And what this often revolves around is just justifying things to yourself. It has to do with mastering your ego. Your cognitive biases are going to be understanding your own social conditioning, what you were brought up to understand. Most people understand this as like unplugging from the matrix. If you're a blue pill guy, right? Starting with, you know, what society has told me is just, it's not the Disneyland fairy tale. That's the first step. But understanding such things as, I'll give you a good example of, you know, hey, this, you know, XYZ girl is not giving me the attention I want. Understanding when it's cognitive dissonance, right? Where it's sour grapes and, oh, you know what? She's not a great girl to be around anyway. When you can recognize in yourself that you're saying, you know what? I'm just saying that because she doesn't want me. And really, I'm doing myself a disservice. That's huge in terms of a cognitive bias to be able to master your own mental model, so to speak. And that's, again, mastering your ego is one of the hardest things to do. You know, you said before the show that, you know, monks spend their whole life trying to do it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them don't get there. So these are all ideals, but it's good things to strive for in terms of, you know, unscrewing your mental model, so to speak. To get you a better result of what you need to do for yourself.
Right. And it all goes back to just not lying to yourself. Don't blow smoke up your own ass. It's bad enough when other people do it for you. And so again, just to kind of summarize, this is your self-discipline versus self-management versus self-leadership. All right. I think we wrapped up. So everything we just discussed is just kind of like a precursor to what this show is about and what we're going to cover in the future. Moving forward, we're going to, so, and also again, just to recap earlier, your homework thus far is to every hour, write down the decisions you made and ask yourself, does this, lead
is it towards, conducive?
Is it conducive to achieving my goals, my mission? If you don't know what your mission is, then it's time to get some, introspection going and find out what's important to you as an individual. Now, if you haven't been there yet, go look at the goal-making video. It'll tell you the five steps, the five core elements of effective goals. And hat tip to the Air Force, because that's where I stole it from. yeah, something we did in the on the Fat Boy program. If you failed PT test, this is how you achieve goals. They were
don't eat so much.
Well, those goals at the time were geared toward fitness, but slightly retooled, they apply to anything in life. Because a goal for running a 5K is the same process for achieving a goal for, I don't know, losing your virginity. If you want to kind of small chunk those progress, how do you meet a girl? Well, how do you get, anyways?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that goes into that. I already did a video on it. Go watch it later.
Don't make your goal getting laid though.
Yeah. Your mission should be yourself now.
Right.
That's generally speaking. And we talked about this in one of the Sunday Status Report shows, and it was about, well, status. And status is the number one aphrodisiac. And this is like, why do guys want to become rock stars? Because they want to get laid. You know? Yeah, there might be an artistic kind of expression aspect of it. But realistically, it's the same thing with like athletes. Why? Because it pays money and there's fame. Why do people want to become famous? What's the fame about? And it all comes back to Kiss is a good example. Not the principal, but the band. Gene Simmons talked about this years ago in one of their interviews, like VH1's Behind the Music sort of thing. And he said, well, why did you guys want to become musicians? He's like, well, we're just like a bunch of dorky Jewish guys from New York. It's like, no one's going to have sex with us. But if we're in a band, and that's how Kiss got founded, was they just a couple of guys who learned how to play the guitar so they could get laid.
I'd love them.
So it's kind of, I see that scaled out at the macro level across society.
But I want to touch on that. It's one of the iron rules of Tomasi, and that's never make a woman your mission.
Yep. And that's so many things that we do that we make our mission is for that end goal of getting laid. It's that evolutionary psychology and biology kind of crashing together. And I've talked about this before as well, where if the number one thing, if women decided the number one thing that gets guys laid is being able to walk on their hands, overnight society would change. We would have hand walking competitions. That would be the new thing the kids did on the playgrounds. Everything about society would be focused on who can hand walk better.
TikTok video every 3 seconds on it.
Yep. And that's kind of how things get shaped in society throughout evolution. So I think what we're talking about is breaking the away from the natural order in a sense. Because when you do this, you become the leader and the master of your own mission, your own life. There's a lot of elements to that we got to unpack. That's a big one right there.
Yeah.
So yeah, you were going to say, I think I cut you off. Sorry.
Put you on. No. Go ahead. No, I was just agreeing with you. The only point I was making was on the Iron Rule of Tomasi, which is never make a woman your mission. And I think a lot of people screw up when they put together their mission. There's a distinction between wanting to, express your sexuality or explore your sexuality or be a sexual person and have sex frequently. There's a whole difference between that and making women or one particular woman your mission. And that's where a lot of people fail. It's, you know, for guys just starting out, it's a subtle difference, but it is a very important difference.
Indeed.
Luckily, I would say that you don't have to, your mission, it doesn't have to be some profound thing to get laid. It doesn't have to be, you can pick anything you want. You can pick, like my mission right now is to surf a lot.
No shit. I just started that myself last year.
I've been surfing for a long time, and I just want to surf more, and it gets me very laid.
No shit.
So
if I'm ever out on the West Coast, I'll have to hit you up.
You can pick whatever you want. Like literally anything, and as long as you're focused on it, a girl will enjoy that. So,
well, yeah, there's a passionate. If you're passionate about something and you're confident about it, those two combined right there alone will set you apart from a lot of men, especially those who are just kind of like on, they're just coasting through life. They have no passion. They just go to work. They do the 9-to-5. Guys like that don't get anywhere with women. You got to be passionate. You got to be competent. And like I said, when those start to, those elements kind of fall into place, especially if you've got status, that the thing that you're competent with, again, provides status, like you were saying, with athleticism, surfing, it's not easy. So if you can be out there ripping, man, I can see why that would have a positive net effect on your love life, for sure.
Well, I mean, it's pretty hard to be watched while surfing. I just talk to girls on the beach.
Oh, well, there's that too.
That's another thing. But I will say, here's why you should have a mission and have it not be women, I guess, is like the core reason, as far as I'm concerned, is that you're a human being, you're a human male, with ability to do cool stuff. So why, that's like the purpose of life. Like write poetry, do yoga, I don't know, do a garden, do whatever the fuck you want. But you have this ability to do amazing things as a human being. So
So Ripney, actually, in the comments, he made a thing here. I don't know what he was getting at. Try 57. Is that an age? I lost you there, Ripney. Hopefully you're still with us. Yeah, I don't know what that meant by it. So anyways.
Maybe he meant 48 laws of power. Maybe that's what he was referring to.
I don't know. Well, we're going to move right along. So like I said, this was all just kind of like a precursor to what the channel's about. And then kind of give you guys a background of like what our perspective is on where we're approaching this subject matter. So moving forward, we're going to go right into tonight's the class notes. Go ahead and bring these up. So introduction. I hate reading. My God, it's like reading Death by PowerPoint. So the goal, as you can read right there, take a moment. The key thing, though, it's like we were talking about before with making it your mission or not making getting laid your mission. So the class is not on how to get laid per se. Even though, you see what it is. I'm giving you guys the skills and the drills you can do and the framework. These are the training wheels is what they are. They're training wheels for going out, approaching, building confidence, because competence builds confidence. You can fake it till you make it.
Hell yeah.
But the problem with faking it till you make it, and I see this all the time, guys who do this whole PUA thing, they're not going through the whole life improvement process. They fake it, they make it, they get a girlfriend, and then 6 months later, the girls see through the bullshit, the guys are, they fall in their old habits, and they're back to square one. And even worse, whatever progress they were building towards originally is now gone because they stopped going out all the time, they weren't doing the drills, the training wheels kind of fell off. So you got to maintain this long term. What's that?
You know, something that's so important, which is that, you know, exposing yourself to as many of these situations as possible, right? Like one way to gain abundance is to have an abundance of opportunity. And you can't have an abundance of opportunity if you don't expose yourself to as many options as possible and mm-hmm. as many experiences as possible. So the guys that go out and actually apply this stuff are going to become more confident as a result, because they're going to know what works. They're going to know what doesn't work. They're going to have the data, so to speak, right? Or the feedback, whatever you want to call it. But just that interaction that says, you know what? This is, if I want to interact with other people and have it go well, this is what I need to do.
Well, yeah, it's the collection of data points we talked about before, where competence builds confidence. Well, in order to be competent in something, you need to do it about 1,000 times. To master it, it takes about 10,000 times of repetition. And then also, if you think of it from a statistical analysis perspective, like, you know, you need data. And data doesn't start becoming reliable until you have at least 30 under your belt. The more data points you've got, the more data points you have, the more reliable the analysis is going to be of that collected data. Just a general way how it works. But moving on. I'm in the wrong window.
We figured out Ribney's question, which is
his age, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for answering that.
Tried at 57.
Yeah. So for the simplicity. Now, unfortunately, because everything's on lockdown, this is really tough to do. But the simpler, this is funny. I actually just wrote this up for my master's. The Keep It Simple, Stupid Principle. It was originated by the Navy somewhere in around the late 50s, early 60s. But it was popularized by Kelly Johnson of the Lockheed Skunk Works fame. He's the guy behind the U-2 and the SR-71 stealth fighter. And then they've gone on to build other aircraft since then. A lot of stealth, a lot of high-end cutting-edge stuff came out of their that company. But the Keep It Simple, Stupid Principle is just generally, it means the more complicated you make a system, the harder it's going to be to build, the more complicated, the more prone it is to break down, and the more expertise it will be required to maintain it over the long term. So by keeping things simple, it's easier to put together, it's easier to implement, and it's easier to maintain long term. So to that end, when you see a girl, like I said before, that 1 second rule is kind of an extension of the KISS model. So you see a girl you like, go approach her. 1 second, boom, beat feet. Approach and stay. You don't stay until they walk away or they tell you to get lost, creep. If they're still with you, you're still in the game. Generally speaking, that's just the best way to go about it. And like I said, hit the gym. The old-fashioned lifts are the best. There's a really good book called The New Rules of Lifting by Lou Scholler and Alan Cosgrove. Mm-hmm. I should drop a link in the description. It's really good. He's got different workouts in there for if you're fat and you want to slim down, great. There's workouts for that. If you're skinny and you want to put on muscle, great. There's workouts for that. If you just want to maintain, great. There's workouts for that. If you want to get strong, great. There's workouts for that. Another good one for just getting strong is Starting Strength by Mark Rippetoe and the 5-3-1 Wendler method. Both, I've done both. They're awesome. But I digress. So eating the right food, minimizing fast food, which is kind of good because everybody's staying home. So hopefully you're cooking more often. Paleo is simple. Paleo, I like keto. Keto, paleo, the South Beach diet, a couple of other ones, Atkins, they're all basically just different versions of the ketogenic diet. And I lost a ton of weight last year doing that, kind of that with intermittent fasting.
So I would add 50% vegetables. There's a book that I read a couple months ago. I can't remember the name of it. I'll have to link it after the show. But 50% vegetables at every meal is absolutely life-changing in terms of digestion, in terms of being able to absorb the nutrients and minerals you need. And in terms of gains, I did a nutrition challenge for about 5 weeks where it was 25% carbs, 25% protein, and 50% vegetables every meal. No sugar, no alcohol. And I gained 5 pounds of muscle and lost, 2 pounds of fat.
In huge. A month?
In 5 weeks.
That's a little over a month. Yeah, it's definitely a stretch to do, but it's possible.
Yeah, totally.
Let's see here. Get in the habit of talking to everyone. Now, I love this one because whenever guys, they start doing the pickup thing and they want to go out and they want to meet girls, usually there's they call them warm-up sets. You don't need any of that shit, all right? Keep it simple, stupid. Just be social. Talk to everybody. You don't have to worry about warming up if you're always in a social mood. You do that by just talking to everybody, being a chatty person. Now, if you're not a natural extrovert, this is really tough to get in the habit of. But again, it's about building habits. It's about building those skills and that muscle memory of just being social. So you've got to put in the work, and that kind of comes up to the next one where you got to take these strides and you got to leave your comfort zone. There's no ifs, ands, or there's no shortcuts. There's no silver bullets. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You just got to take that big step out of your comfort zone and talk to people. That's all there is to it. Now, when I say take that big step and you're still kind of like, I don't know. No, you take a big step. You feel where you're at. Take another big step. Feel where you're at. Take another big step. Feel where you're at. Congratulations. You're still about 2 more baby steps away from where the line is. So, because people are way more in their heads than I think a lot of folks actually realize, where what's socially acceptable and what you can kind of get away with and have some fun with, you got to give yourself permission to have fun. So getting out of your comfort zone is a big part of that. And again, you can do it by baby steps and incrementally push the line, or you can take those big leaps and bounds and then see where you're at. And you're going to learn a lot faster about what you can and can't get away with and what's socially acceptable by taking the big steps and then pulling back a little bit if you go too far. You're going to learn way faster doing that than you ever will baby stepping your way out of that comfort zone. So big steps and then calibrate.
One of the best ways to gain confidence is seeing what people will tolerate. And it's more than you think, right? Yeah. It's just, if you give absolutely no thought at all to what you're going to do, then by definition, you are in your own mental point of origin. If you've not considered anybody else's point of view and you're just, I'm going to say this thing, some people can go through life like that without considering anybody else's, predilections and all that. But I think it helps to, as an exercise, get into the habit of pushing yourself outside the comfort zone and doing that.
Absolutely. Let me see if I got anything over here. Let's see here. We kind of talked about that with the most of what guys call game is not necessary. What matters most, like I said in the thing here, 80-90% of getting the girl, job, whatever it is that you desire, it's just building up that social savvy and then just working through the awkward phase. There's always the awkward phase. No matter what you're doing, there's always going to be that initial with strangers. There's always that awkward, I don't know who this person is or what they're about. How you're going to have that, for a moment, you might have that self-doubt. And the more you do this, the less you're going to have that. It's like approach anxiety. All it is a fear of rejection commingled with stage fright. That's all it is. You can get over stage fright through repetition. You might always have some, but the more competent you get, the more acclimated you become, the less of an impact it's going to have on your actual approaching skills. The fear of rejection, same thing. The more you do it, the more you start getting acclimated to that awkwardness, that initial weirdness of a cold approach or warm approach with somebody you see at a party and you're like, well, shit, how do I meet this person? Well, you already know you've got ins. If it's a warm kind of social setting at a party, maybe you're already in class. You've got commonalities to build on. It's just you're trying to build that initial connection. There's ways of going about that. We're going to talk about that in future episodes. Tonight is just about the keep it simple, stupid approach or a methodology, principles. Approach and stay. Make sure you're doing all the basics. So brush your teeth. Have good hygiene. Take a shower. Brush your hair. If you don't like... I think I skipped over one, actually. This kind of is important.
Dress for success.
Yeah. Where's it at? Oops. Where is it at here? Keep it simple, stupid. Dress your best. Clothes that fit properly. And oh my God, dude, this is so important. Where you see these guys with big billowy jeans that go down to their, like, there's all that fabric at the bottom by their ankles. Get your stuff fitted. It takes a little bit of money. Go to an alteration shop. Get your jeans hemmed. Get your shirts taken in. Have your stuff fit. We're going to show you later what this looks like and how much of a world of a difference it makes. We call it a trim beard. Don't be unkempt is what it comes down to. Make sure you're doing the basics. This should not be rocket science, but unfortunately there's a lot of guys that used to come to these classes who for whatever reason didn't quite have personal hygiene on lockdown. So yeah, if you're below average, we're going to get you up to average. If you are at average, we're going to get you up to about a 7 or 8. And if you're a 7 or 8, then you really don't need much of this. You're probably through life experience already confident because you're already looking or have whatever it is that je ne sais quoi. So moving on. Anybody else? James, you still with us? Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's there. All right. Moving on. So we had most men. Yep. So most men these days seem to be overly sensitive, feminized, afraid of offending others. Yeah. Well, don't worry about that. So if you've got the trigger anxiety because you're just in your head, that 1 second rule goes a long ways to fixing that. So you got to let go of the ego. You got to let go of the fear. It's what we talked about earlier with the preamble of the show. You guys got to give yourself permissions and just let go of all of the bullshit in your heads. Right there, approach and stay. In addition, do your lift. Again, we're kind of just rehashing kind of the bullet point list. Talk to everybody. This pro tip is clutch. So once the bars are open and you're going out there and you're doing cold approach again or warm approach, whatever, what have you, keep your wits about you. A nice 2-drink limit is what I would recommend. 1, you're going to save a bunch of money. 2, you don't want to be getting sloshed because it's just going to be terrible in a public setting. You're opening yourself up. There's risk involved. You don't want to be that guy that I just posted the link to who got the thing carved in his arm. So 2-drink limit. Yeah. Just remember, you're in training mode when you're doing this. These are the training wheels. So if you're going to go through this structure and do this kind of material, make sure you've got your wits about you. And then lastly, the fastest way to make progress, as I said, is to take those big steps out of your comfort zone. We'll hold off on the metagame for next week. So this is really all I had to cover tonight. How about you guys? Any other things that you want to piggyback onto this?
No, I think that's it. I think what it comes down to is the practical application of everything, yep. You know, to one's life. Yep. And it's what you get out of it is what you put into it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this is why I actually started charging for the classes that I do in person. You get the money back at the end if you show up. And I had to do that because a lot of folks would show up and they would just waste my time. So, or they would take a spot in the class and then they didn't take it seriously. They didn't really apply themselves. And then they're, unfortunately, it would bump other people, you know, who probably would have done applied it. So if you're watching this, if you're taking notes, please put this into practice. I know it's tough to do right now with everything closed, but there are things you can do. This is your homework. We talked about before doing the every hour, write down in your notebook, does the decisions you've made over the last hour apply towards moving you towards your mission, achieving those goals. Now, the other homework, this is important. Now, it's like I said, it's tough to do right now. So maybe once things start coming back to normal, keep this in, if you're seeing this video later on, right now it's April 7th. So if you see this at a future date or later date, God, I'm out of it. If you see this video at a later date and things are back open, this is what you can do. And I stole this from Adam Lyons. So 30 minutes a day, every day, go out and approach people. Be sociable. Now, the 30 minutes doesn't count if you're talking to family, friends, or hired guns. All right. If she's behind a clerk, if she's a clerk working at the store, doesn't count. So go out there. 30 minutes a day of FaceTime is all it takes. All right. Because you got to get that time. You got to put the hours in and build up that confidence by developing the competence. Again, training wheels. So you're doing this structure for a reason. But Having this knowledge in your head doesn't do you any good if you're not going to apply it. And that 30 minutes a day is what is how that occurs. All right. So that's your homework. Once things kind of get back to normal, in the meantime, get back on a normal schedule. I posted down below a really good home workout you can do through Athlean X. He's got different fitness levels of what you can do. So click the link, start your working out, monitor your food intake, make sure you know how many calories you actually need to eat. If you haven't, go online, find out what the metabolic rate calculators are for your height and weight, and figure out what your goals are. And again, if you haven't seen that yet, I'll drop the link in the description later of how to formulate proper goals. Do you guys have any final thoughts for us?
Nope, that's all.
No, I think that's it. I hope everybody, you know, kind of invests themselves in the curriculum. And really what we're going to be going off of is kind of the established wisdom of the sidebar stuff, you know, for the foundational basics of it.
Yeah, we'll be covering frame. Frame is everything. So if you saw the video that was going to happen, that's on pause. I think we're just going to cover it in this class because it's a huge part of what we're going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. So Alvin, thank you for joining us. Ribney, who else? The 3-point shot, Dimitri, and then all of the thank you for the Patreon donors. Those all help out tremendously. Everybody, thank you for supporting the channel. And I think with that, we are going to call it, and we will see you guys next week. So again, same bat time, same bat channel. 11 p.m. on Tuesdays. All right. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.